Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Discover the Copiah Advantage. Copiah County is a Mid-South gem with a spirit of opportunity, a business-friendly environment, and access to major transportation networks. Copiah County, let's do business. Visit CopiahWorks.com today and discover the Copiah Advantage.
What's up, everybody? Welcome in on June Tuesday night. We are in the back middle of June, and knock on wood, now that I'm saying this, but the season opener is going to be absolutely brutal. But knock on wood, we are in the smack middle of June, and it's still pretty mild. We're having a mild start to the summer here in Mississippi. People in the neighborhood are walking their dogs and playing outside and stuff like that, even though it's June 17th, and it has been quite pleasant so far. And again, now that I said that, the season opener against Georgia State for Ole Miss is going to be 107 degrees at kickoff. But so far, knock on wood, so good this summer. Appreciate you guys being here. I know that the sports news around here dies down greatly in the summer. So if you are still listening to this, especially in podcast form, those numbers continue to look really, really strong. And for that, I thank each and every one of you for being here. But if you're still here in the summer, I really appreciate you guys. We're talking about the five most important games for Ole Miss in 2025. I have to go quickly. So this is going to be a shorter episode tonight. So I appreciate you guys being here. But I've got my five and I've got my rationale behind them. And then I'll send you guys on your way. Thank you for being here. Don't forget to subscribe wherever you get your podcast. Just search Rebel Report. Like, subscribe, and all that stuff right here on YouTube as well. Follow me on Twitter at Michael Borkey, B-O-R-K-E-Y. And this edition of the podcast is brought to you in part by Toyota of Brookhaven. They're on Exit 40 in Brookhaven. $1,000 on me. Tell them that I sent you. $1,000 on me, any in-stock new Toyota. If you just tell them that I sent you before anything else, you get $1,000. They have a service department that is open 7 to 7. Monday through Friday, they can take care of any make or model if you live in the area. But if you don't and you want a great car buying experience, I promise you it's worth the trip. Check out their online inventory. You can shop before you go, but you want to shop with somebody that will actually take care of you, and they will do that at Toyota Brookhaven, Exit 40 in Brookhaven. And don't forget to tell them that I sent you. So we're continuing on with our top five list. We're doing it every day on the radio show. Here was today's. I'm going to bring that to you right now. The top five most important games for Ole Miss. I think biggest and most important are two different things. So, for example, Georgia, I don't have on this list because I don't think the outcome of the Georgia game is important relative to these other games in the success of the season. And so I'm looking at games that, to me, are the most important for this team to reach their over under win total of 8.5. If they're going to get to 9 or more, these games are the ones that stand out to me the most. So here they are right now. Number five to me, and there's going to be a theme for my first three. Number five is Florida. Winnable home conference games. Winnable home conference games are so important. If they're going to hit that over of 8.5, if they're going to go 9 or 10, overachieve this season, they have to win these winnable home conference games against teams that are that have rosters that are comparable to theirs, if not just a little bit better or a little bit worse, depending on your perspective. But Florida is my number one. It falls at a pretty good spot on the schedule for Ole Miss. You get a pseudo bye with the Citadel a week before Florida. With all due respect to the Bulldogs, I have great respect for the institution that is the Citadel. Ole Miss gets a pseudo bye the week before they play Florida. As you know, they lost to Florida a year ago, but that is a team that Ole Miss on paper should at least be comparable to, if not better than. And you have to win your home close conference games, especially coming off of what is basically a bye. And then if you look at what Florida's got, they have Georgia in the cocktail party, and they're at Kentucky the week before Ole Miss. So they get, they being Ole Miss, get a nice scheduling break. But Florida, to me, is one of those games that if they're going to hit that total, they have got to win that game. Number four for me, South Carolina. Now, I absolutely hate where South Carolina falls on Ole Miss's schedule. I absolutely hate it. I think it's a terrible spot for Ole Miss, but it's still a winnable home conference game. South Carolina, people love Lenora Sellers. I don't like him as much as other people do. I don't like Shane Beamer's program as much as other people do. Now, I really like and respect Shane Beamer. I love his fan-first attitude. Talks about the fans a lot. You guys know me. That is something that really speaks to me. I don't think you hear it enough in sports. And so I like Shane Beamer personally. I have big questions about temperament. You saw how easy it was for Brett Bielema to just troll his face off. I mean, in the bowl game, all Bielema had to do was that right there, you know, the little arms out thing. And Shane Beamer loses his mind and the team loses the game. And that's not the only example of that. He broke his foot kicking a trash can in the facility. I question his ability to be the rock, the statue in the big moments. And I think his team suffers from that. I do like him personally, though. But South Carolina going to be a pretty good team this year. A lot of people think so anyway. Brutal spot for Ole Miss on the schedule. That is after the Georgia game in Athens, and then a week after Georgia, they're in Norman. That two-game stretch for Ole Miss is pretty brutal. Back-to-back road games, Athens and Norman, and then you come home for South Carolina. So a tough spot on the schedule. South Carolina, not exactly a cakewalk either. They're at LSU hosting Oklahoma and Alabama before Ole Miss, so maybe that's a wash. But South Carolina is a team they dominated a year ago, and I know things are a lot different. Ole Miss has new players. South Carolina has new players. But winnable home conference games, if they're going to overachieve on that 8-4 total, that game has to be a win as well. Number three, LSU. LSU's number three. And man, as we've talked about before on here, what a fascinating game that is for both teams. There's a real chance that LSU comes into that game with two losses, but even if they come in with just one, so they're an underdog at Clemson in week one. LSU lately has really struggled in week one against power opponents. Let's just pretend for a second that LSU goes to chalk. They lose at Clemson, they beat Louisiana Tech, Florida in southeastern Louisiana, and they go to Oxford on September 27th. If they get through that stretch at 4-1, LSU looks like there's an opportunity for them to be a playoff team, that they can, of course, afford one more loss. A 10-win SEC team is not getting left out of the playoff basically ever. Like, it's not happening. If you get to the 10-win mark, it's going to happen. So if LSU gets to 4-1 or, hell, even 5-0, I mean, you got South Carolina, Vanderbilt, A&M. They do have to go to Tuscaloosa and Norman, but the schedule sets up nicely for an opportunity for them to be a playoff team, which is basically the bare minimum of what their fans expect of them this season. But what happens if they get their second loss on September 27th? If they go into their bye week, their first bye week, remember there's two this year. But what happens with Brian Kelly if they get their second loss on September 27th with a trip to Tuscaloosa on the way? Don't roll your eyes with a trip to Vanderbilt on the way. Ask Alabama last year what a Diego Pavia-led Vanderbilt team is like on the road. Not easy. They have to go to Norman. They still have to play South Carolina. I mean, there's a lot of opportunities for wins, but if you have your second loss by September 27th, another one's coming. Brian Kelly, going into this season, he was expected to win championships. They expect this team to win one, and if they don't get that there, then there's going to be real questions about his future. So that's a massive swing game for LSU, and that's also a massive swing game for Ole Miss. Ole Miss will be favored in their first four games before that, but it's not a cakewalk. Kentucky and Lexington, more on that in a second, not going to be easy. Tulane, not going to be easy. Arkansas in the past has always gotten weird. I'm very much a non-believer in this current form of Arkansas, but if it goes to chalk, right? If these four games go to chalk and Ole Miss is hosting LSU at 4-0, you're going to have a top 15, top 10 Ole Miss team hosting LSU, who will still be ranked at that point, probably. What a massive game and a massive environment that will be.
And if you can pull that off and you're 5-0, 6-0 going to Athens, you're talking about Ole Miss, the playoff team. But it also could go the other way, right? You could maybe lose at Lexington and then LSU becomes a massive game. And if you lose that, you've got two losses before your bye week. Same conversation with LSU. And it's you're looking at a setup the rest of the way that's really concerning. So it's a massive swing game for both teams, but a winnable home conference game. You've had success against LSU at home lately. What an opportunity that will be for Ole Miss, or what an opportunity that can be for Ole Miss anyway, and what an opportunity, or what a swing game, we'll just keep using that phrase, for LSU that can be on September 27th. So that's number three. Number two to me is Kentucky, and not necessarily because they lost to Kentucky last year, although that is part of it. Beating them in 25 does not avenge, and people are going to write that, it does not avenge the loss of 24. Ole Miss had no business losing to Kentucky last year. They did it. You guys know that. Let's move on. That is a little bit of factor in this, though. But to me, you're definitely not hitting that 8.5 total without a win against Kentucky. But most importantly, this is Austin Simmons' first road start. This is his first conference start. It's his first opponent that can actually beat him start. And so there's a lot, not only in terms of just like winning and losing the game, because again, if you're going to hit 9 or more, you have to beat Kentucky. You just have to. But I am so curious to see how the young quarterback handles his first real test as a starter. Georgia State at least shouldn't test Ole Miss in week one. They did beat Vanderbilt a year ago, though. But that should be a game in the season opener that is very comfortable for everybody involved. Week two should, I don't think you should expect comfort. If you get comfort, then you should be really excited. But it should be, again, his first road game. Kentucky's got Toledo in week one. Mississippi State fans will tell you that Toledo is no walk in the park. But if Kentucky's 1-0 going into that game, it's not an easy place to play. His first real adversity as a quarterback will happen that day. So you get a really good look at how he handles that and how this team is going to handle that as well, as opposed to just getting, you know, just getting fat on non-conference games for an entire month. They get thrown into the fire in week two. I'm really excited for that game and to see how this team handles that opportunity that they have in Lexington. And that game is vital both for record, both for over-under, and also for Austin Simmons and that team getting tested in that way. And number one, I think, is the Egg Bowl. So, yes, I know I left off Georgia. I know I left off Oklahoma. But I think Ole Miss can hit that total and can be a playoff contending team without having to go to Athens and winning. So that's a big game. That's probably the biggest game. And maybe that's the second one for behind LSU, because LSU's at home. But important and big, I think, are two different conversations. The Egg Bowl is big for a couple of reasons. One, just first of all, they haven't played well in each of the last two Egg Bowls. Now, they won the games, which is important, but they have not played well. 2 years ago in Starkville, Jackson Dart banged up. Team really hurt at that point. So in a rivalry game, and that was not a bad – okay, they fired their coach. That was not a pathetic Mississippi State team 2 years ago. Especially defensively, they ended up being really good by the end of the season compared to what you thought they were 2 years ago. So you go – rivalry game, you're beat up, you go on the road, you win, you move on, whatever, okay? Last year, though, that was as embarrassing as a – rivalry win can be. We know this. We've been over it. But Mississippi State's defense was pathetic a year ago. Their best game was against Ole Miss. That was an uninspiring day in that game. So that's not as important, though, as this part of it. You have a chance to deliver as close to a death blow. I think you have a chance. Of course, we've got to see the 11 games that happen first. This is way projecting, but if the odds makers in Vegas and all of the projections and everything are right about what this Mississippi State team is going to be, there's a chance that they are coming into this game at 3-8 or 4-7. And this would be, if you can win that game, Kiffin's fifth Egg Bowl in six tries. True domination if he's able to pull that off record-wise in the Egg Bowl. And you can really kick a program while it's down. And if they go 3-9 with, I would assume that would be 0-8 in SEC play. They go 0-8 and 0-8. I mean, they're in that scenario firing Jeff Lebby, but you're going 2-fired after going 1-fired, and Joe Moorhead before Mike Leach went 2-fired as well. You're really allowing your in-state rival to just continue to dig deeper and deeper into a hole that you can keep just handing them shovels as they dig with a good performance and a win in the Egg Bowl. So I think that game is so important. And you guys know that I don't think that you should measure yourself against your rival very often. I think the baseball program needs to do that. But, you know, Chris Beard lost to State twice this year in basketball. And, I mean, who cares? Does anybody care? In this case, though, the opportunity to deliver as close to a death blow as you can makes this game the most important game on the schedule. If you can do that, what that does for within the state, when it comes to recruiting, what that does for fundraising for your biggest rival and your competition within the state. And what I mean by what it does for fundraising is it can really make football hard for them. That cannot be ignored. If you can clean up within your own state the way that they're already kind of doing anyway, but if you can render your rival irrelevant, then you've got to capitalize on that opportunity, because that pays dividends in ways that other wins would have a hard time having that kind of ripple effect this season. So that's my rationale. I don't know if it makes sense or not. I hope it does. I hope it does. And glad you guys are here. We'll read some of your comments. I know there's a few, and then I've got to go. I got to get out of here, so this will be a short one. But we'll read the comments after I tell you the podcast is brought to you in part by Advantage Business Systems, absms.com. ABSMS.com, that's the website, Advantage Business Systems, for all of your office technology needs. If you need technology in the office, if you're a business owner or you're a decision maker at the business and you need tech, ABSMS.com is the website. They do copiers and printers and mail machines too, but it's everything technology related. Check them out and tell them that I sent you. You'll get a complimentary office technology assessment. Also, Priority One Bank, they make you their priority. I was in my branch earlier today, had a great experience at my Priority One Bank location. It's right down the road from me. There's probably one close to you. There's 16 in Mississippi. They will make you their priority, just like they do me. Because that's what they do at Priority One Bank. They make you their priority. You've got here's the first text. I'm glad that we're on the same page. I've got one. Kentucky cannot be close, plain and simple. South Carolina, Oklahoma, Florida, Kentucky, Tulane, says David. Tulane is a sneaky, tough game. It's a sneaky, tough game. Washington State last year would have been a sneaky, tough game for Ole Miss, but alas, they lost basically everybody. I do think there could be a classic case of the look-aheads with that Tulane game being sandwiched in between Arkansas and LSU. There's a chance that one's uncomfortable for a little while. It's just hard to get a football team up for 12 games. You know, they're human beings. They know that LSU's a week later, and if they are 3-0 going into the Tulane game, knowing what's coming with LSU, you might have kind of a distracted football team. That could happen. No doubt that could happen. So, anyway, two baseball questions to start. What did I think of Gage Wood's complete game for Arkansas and the complete lack of media attention it got? So two things working against that. Number one, it's college baseball. And college baseball nationally does not move the needle, even cool things like that. It also happened during the middle of a workday. In Major League Baseball, you had a big kind of blockbuster trade. The NBA Finals also going on. So sports media, national sports media, pretty distracted when that went down yesterday. And college baseball, just even something cool like that, just does not move the needle. So a lot of things working against it. Again, middle of a work day on a Monday and other national sports things happening at the same time. It's amazing, though. I mean, it's been 65 years since the last one. And the poor guy, the only thing keeping it from a perfect game was he hit a guy. It's not like he hit a guy. How on earth you can go seven perfect and then hit the first batter you see in the eighth? But incredible performance, no doubt. I was surprised. I know that Murray State had some pretty incredible BABIP luck. I get it. But the fact that their offense didn't really produce much in Omaha surprised me a little bit, because they were on a bit of a heater. But that heater could have been put out a couple weeks ago in Oxford if Ole Miss just plays decent defense, just have a decent defensive weekend, and nobody knows that Murray State even exists. So anyway, five most important, rank from 5 to 1, Florida, South Carolina, Oklahoma, Kentucky, LSU. Not a bad list at all. Not a bad list at all. LSU presents an incredible opportunity for Ole Miss. I think that the opportunity to get as close to burying your in-state rival as you can is more significant. But maybe I'm just kind of in radio show, like, Egg Bowl brain mode. Kentucky game is paramount this season for multiple reasons. On the road early against a team who gave you one of your worst losses ever last year, it's the first step this team has to show. Yes, for sure. LSU feels like the difference in whether the team will compete for a playoff spot. LSU has all the hype. But at least you and I aren't buying Brian Kelly. It's at home and Ole Miss can win. I have never, never bought Brian Kelly. And I got ridiculed. That's my favorite take that has aged well. And, like, I don't mind. I don't care. About being wrong. It doesn't bother me. I mean, it's sports opinion, right? That's what we do. If I have an opinion that ends up, you know, not looking good in hindsight, so what? I mean, we're talking about sports here. It's not like I'm, you know, holding on to the nuclear codes or anything like that, right? But that was a take that when Brian Kelly got hired at LSU, I was like, why are people excited about that? He's been not good at Notre Dame. They're just kind of average. They're okay. I mean, look, they made it to a national championship game, if you want to count what that performance was, and that matters, but they're just kind of average. Why are people excited about this? And sure enough, Brian Kelly at LSU to this point has been just kind of average. They're okay. They're a tough out when you go to their place, for sure, but LSU, with their resources and in-state talent and all that stuff, should not be in the position that he's had them in for 3 years. I've never understood it. And the other two, which it's now just me and Hey Dad, really, but the other two at the time told me I was crazy and I was wrong and I'm just a hater, and I was right. And I wish I could go find that show and just play it for the both of them. But they also could go back and find something that I got dead wrong, and I could for them. So I'll just brag to you guys here and then not say anything there. LSU had no business beating Ole Miss last year until they proved me wrong. Baton Rouge is always not a loss, simply cannot win there. Yeah, and that's another just self-inflicted wounds. That's the thing, man. It's not like LSU played great. It's just Ole Miss did not. Just did not. Georgia's a complete free shot, similar to 23. I agree completely. You do not need to win that game to be in the playoff conversation. Georgia is, you guys know their record at home. It's just so impressive. Oklahoma on the road is a 50-50 road game that can swing the season as well. Don't know exactly what we're going to get from the Sooners. Could be good or end up firing Venables. I tend to lean bad. I mean, you especially... Look, you could be looking at an Oklahoma team that has four losses by the time Ole Miss comes to town. You really could. They could lose to Michigan. They certainly could lose to Auburn. I don't think they're going to lose to Auburn at home. Hell, they could even beat Michigan. I mean, both of those games being at home, they're winnable. But they also could lose both. They very easily could lose to Texas. And they're in Columbia, South Carolina, the week before. they could be limping into that game with Ole Miss, or they could be really confident. Oklahoma is the most fascinating team in the SEC this year, I think. Completely retooled their offense, brought in a quarterback and his offensive coordinator. I'm excited to talk to the Oklahoma people at Media Days. I'm looking forward to that because I am the most interesting team outside the ones that we cover here in the SEC to me is Oklahoma. Understand your point about the Egg Bowl. Another Ole Miss win could be a dagger to the future of their program. And Jeff Lebby, I for one don't expect State to be much better than last year. Their schedule also is just brutal. So that I said on the radio show today, I believe it. They could be a dramatically improved football team and still go 4-8. Like dramatically improved and still go 4-8. Their schedule sucks. It just really does. If State goes 0-16 under Lebby, do you think he gets the boot? Probably. Probably definitely can carry this over when the season starts for sure. No doubt about it. Yeah, this is the, and look, nobody feels bad for me and nor should you. This is the hardest time to be fresh and entertaining doing 3 hours of radio every day. It's tough. And you can tell that, you know, people are on vacation and stuff like that. So the engagement on the text line is still very good. Like, our daily audience is still outstanding. Thanks, you know, a lot to one, the platform that SuperTalk provides. But I mean, because of what Richard built for a decade before he left us for the mornings. So we're lucky there because of a lot of hard work by people that are not me and Brian. But it is tough to do content and make it team focused and fresh and original every day this time of year. It's this is by far the most difficult time to do what we do, but that's okay. We're still having fun. I think LSU is going to lose to Clemson, Alabama, and one other and go 9-3 and miss the playoff. And you know, if you're LSU at that point, what do you do? Because that's not what you're paying for. That's not what you expect. That's not what your roster says you should be. That's not what your recruiting prowess says you should be, but that's what you are. If you do that again, I mean, are you really firing Brian Kelly with his buyout? Maybe, but ooh, what a tough spot they'd be in. If Ole Miss has one loss after the Oklahoma game, the playoff talk could be very serious. Maybe with two losses, it could be close, but they'd have to win out. Yeah, I mean, 9-3 could get in. 9-3 could get in. But even if they lose to Georgia and Oklahoma, win out and you're in the playoff in that scenario. If they have two losses playing South Carolina on November 1st, you're still talking about playoff with that team. You are. If Ole Miss would have had a running game last year, they would have been undefeated. Yes, they would have. But if ifs and buts were candy and nuts, we'd all have a Merry Christmas. That's a very old man phrase, but it's true. 0-16, they went 0-8 a year ago. So if State goes 0-8, That would be that. Ole Miss could go win at Kentucky, but if it looks like last year, it won't be a pleasant conversation. No, it will not. Hate to say this, but last year Ole Miss folded when the pressure was greater, except for Georgia. And that's what made last year so interesting, because in Kiffin's first 4 years at Ole Miss, the narrative was, well, he's beating teams that he should, and he's not winning the big game. Why can't Kiffin win the big game? He can't win big games, which is always kind of a false narrative anyway, because like they had College Game Day on their campus and they won the game. Is that not a big game? The game of the weekend was an Ole Miss game. They won it, and then suddenly it's not a big game anymore. So that narrative never made sense. 2021 Tennessee, I don't care what Tennessee's final record was. That was a massive game, and they won it. So I always thought it was kind of a false narrative, but that's what it was. Beating teams he should, can't beat the teams that he should not. Last season, they got that win. They beat the team that was the program that's been on the top of college football. They won the big game. He got his signature win. And then he lost to Kentucky. Lost to Florida, who was just okay. That was something that you were really confident about going into last season was, well, Kiffin doesn't lose games that he should not. At least he didn't do that at Ole Miss. So can they get back to that? If he can get back to that, then they're making the playoff. We'll see. We will see. I do think that it's pretty clear that the pressure and the expectations impacted them negatively. It had to have. I've heard enough from people that they kind of got high on their own supply when it comes to that. And because that roster in 24 was much better than the roster in 23, but the 23 team was better than the 24 team overall. Well, if they lined up and played each other, which team would win? Because 24 is so much more talented. But the 23 team exceeded expectations. Maybe they just got the right breaks. I don't buy that, but maybe they did. But that team would have made the playoff. I wonder if the expectations really are the thing that did them in, that they couldn't handle that. And when they were a little bit looser, they were able to perform well. I don't know. But I got to run. I'm already kind of late. So I got to go. I appreciate you guys being here as always. Thursday, I'll have to do a recorded something for you guys. So there will be an episode on Thursday. We will not be live, but you will get a video on Thursday. So I'll see you guys then. Appreciate you being here as you always are. And we'll see you on Thursday. Y'all have a good night.
A Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.